Welcome back to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott.
And I'm never going back to my old school.
Whatever faith tradition you were raised in, most likely you can still rattle off the prayers and such you learned as a tyke. I was brought up Catholic, so in my case, now I lay me down to sleep. Our Father who art in heaven. And of course, straight out of the Baltimore Catechism, who made me? God made me. However, that is not faith. That is memorization. And most prayers, chants, hymns, psalms, and such readings from every and any religion are ultimately someone else's words. But then somewhere along the journey from childhood to adulthood, if we have absorbed the meaning of all those phrases we parroted, we turn those words into actions. At our best, scripture becomes behavior, and we translate from the printed page and the walls of our churches, temples, and mosques into the way we treat one another. For Christians and Catholics, the gospel should come to life outside the stained glass windows, and communion must be more than the wafer. It should be our collective efforts to care for the least among us. But how can we inspire tomorrow's church and community leaders? How do we present putting faith into action as cool? Late last year, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops presented the Cardinal Bernardin New Leadership Award to David Golomboski. David is pursuing a master's degree in theology at Harvard Divinity School, but it is his extracurricular accomplishments at the Church of the Epiphany and St. William's Church that merited the Bishop's Leadership Award. As a teenager in Louisville, David Golomboski greatly contributed to the development of Justice Walking, or Jaywalking, an intensive, year-long program that helps teens delve into the social mission of their church through prayer, reflection, and hands-on experience with communities in need. While attending Harvard, David became active in Crossroads Ministries, an outreach program of St. William's Church that offers retreats, bringing young people from the burbs face-to-face with their suffering counterparts in the inner city. David reflects that he cannot fix a worldwide problem, but he can help someone nearby, and those actions can encourage others, and step by step, these can make an impact on a larger scale. Is that cool? We think so. And here's our Kathy Golden with David Golomboski.
You are unique.
Well, I think it's unfortunate that it's so rare for a young person to make decisions based on something other than the pursuit of success. And I think that that sort of mentality is something that is promoted in schools and in media and everywhere in general. And there are some very sensible things about making sure that you're making decisions that are going to help you out in the future. But at the same time, it means that our young people are not familiar with what it means to make choices and live your life in certain ways based not on how it's going to pay off for you later, but what you believe to be right and true.
So many of us in this country haven't got a clue what genuine poverty is. Not that we don't have poor here. Look back at the pictures from Katrina. We have poor here. But the nicest kids out there have never been far away from their microwave popcorn or their blow dryer. It's not their fault, but they have no clue what is out there. How do you bring that kind of thinking to the kids that you are influencing?
You're absolutely right that one of the great tragedies of wealth is that it allows people with the means to set themselves apart from lots of the struggles that most of the world's population face every day. So we are able to provide for ourselves in such a way that we never have to worry about our food, never have to worry about our shelter, never have to worry about our security, and are able to conduct our lives in ways that don't bring us into contact with people who do face those problems routinely. And so it becomes very easy to imagine that everybody in the world lives just like I do, eats the way I do, and drives a car like I do. And so I think that in working with young people, one of the most important things to say is if you want to understand what most of the world is like, you're going to have to experience something that is radically different from your own life in some very important ways. And so, like you said, it's nobody's fault, but it makes it really difficult for young people to know how to go about seeing beyond their window. And so I think that one of the roles of ministry to young people should be to empower young people to be able to take that step beyond the narrow borders of their own lives in a way that is safe and that is structured, but also allows them to have those real encounters that push them to recognize that there's a whole world that looks very different from the one they may be familiar with.
Some of the programs that you're involved with, Justice Walking, for instance, what kinds of things do you introduce these kids to? How does this work?
Well, I think poverty does not exist theoretically. Poverty does not exist thematically. Poverty exists in the lives of real people who are searching for food. Or marginalization does not exist just as some idea that someone dreamed up, but it exists in the lives of people who are searching for political representation, are searching to fit into the societies where they're living. And so in order to understand these realities with the hope of taking them in, processing them, and transforming them in some way, we have to actually encounter them in the lives of real people. And so some of the work I've done has involved taking people outside of their schools, outside of their churches, outside of their neighborhoods, into the other parts of town. I worked at a retreat center called Crossroads Ministry in Louisville, Kentucky, that is located in the inner city, a part of town where if you live in the suburbs, you never have to go. And so to take young people to spend a few nights in the inner city, while objectively doesn't represent much of a leap, can be quite a stretch for some young people. And so to give people a chance to encounter something in a real personal way, to spend time at a homeless shelter, to encounter refugees or immigrants, to work with the disabled mentally or physically in a way that humanizes those realities and gives young people a chance to see them not as something in a book or on a chart on CNN, but as a reality that people live out in their daily lives.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Harvard Divinity School student David Golomboski. This is Voices of Our World.
David, what was the first time for you coming up against the sights, the sounds, the smells of real poverty right here in the U.S.? Do you remember when the first time or the first feelings you had when you saw something that was very dissimilar from the way you've grown up?
I think that one of the earliest experiences I had, and I don't know if I could claim that this really set in motion much for me at the time, but I do look back on it and recognize that it opened my eyes in a way, was when I was, I think, 14 years old and participated in a program put on by the Gas and Electric Company in Louisville that to winterize homes that are poorly insulated. And so teams of people from churches or religious communities would go out to homes that had applied for assistance to put plastic over windows to seal up cracks in the doors or whatever, these little things. And it was one of the first times that I found myself in a part of town that I didn't recognize, that didn't look much like my neighborhood, and where people...
And where you stood out big time.
Exactly, where I did not fit in.
Yeah.
And it was pretty clear that whenever, you know, the four of us kids got out of the car, we weren't there to walk into our own homes, but rather to go fix up somebody else's. And it highlighted to me the degree to which I was unaware of what was going on, even in my own city, even a few miles from my own home, and the degree to which I did not quite fit in with that part of the world. It was the first time where I felt like I, who should be on top of the world, I'm David Golomboski, feel powerless here, or feel a little bit helpless. And I think it was a good thing for me. And I was young, and it took me a while, I think, to understand how it all fit together. But it was that was a very early experience for me. You know, I'm a little skeptical of the idea that people are becoming less compassionate or less interested in helping than before. I just think that the mechanisms by which that happen are changing their roles in society, and so it plays out differently. You know, and I think that an organization like Mary Knoll that is open to flexibility and to people pursuing their sort of personally original and creative ends, you know, maybe does not appeal to all of those folks. You know, and who can say what that is about? I do think, though, that to suggest that it's something new, to suggest that people are all of a sudden less concerned with the global mission than before, I think would be to read it the wrong way. I think that it might be the case that people are expressing their concern in different ways, or people who were previously drawn into an organization like Mary Knoll before aren't feeling the pull in the same way, and so aren't being inspired to have concern for global issues in the same way. But I think that it's important to say what I find encouraging are the young people themselves. I have seen a lot of young people, high school students, college students, people around this age who are really open to the transformation that comes by reflecting on our own lives, the place of our lives in the global context, in the context of poverty, racism, environmental injustice, all of these things. There are a lot of young people who are open to the transformation that happens whenever you take these realities into account in the context of faith. And I've seen it happen, and I think there are a lot of people who would attest to that. What I find discouraging are that some of the trends in media and popular culture, but also in youth ministry, are not in the direction of this serious and critical reflection on faith engaged in social realities, but are on providing a comfortable social net mm-hmm. or providing something that matches up with what it appears that young people are looking for based on their commercial preferences in movies, in concerts, or whatever. And I think that it's really important to look at youth ministry and say, what can we offer from a perspective of faith that is not just a replication of what this young person did last night on Saturday night mm-hmm. out with their friends, but in fact calls them to something very different. In fact, asks them to look at their life in a way that says, maybe I need to change. Maybe I need to be transformed to walk a different path, to walk the way of the gospel. What's going on out there, and it's not all bad, but I don't think it calls out of young people everything that they have to offer and everything that it could. But there are a number of good people out there doing really good things that I've seen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All right.
Whatever your religion, do you remember the first time you put your faith into an action that helped others? Tell us about it. On this or any topic, get radioactive and tell us what you think. Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL, MARYKNOLL, or dial 877-627-9566. You're listening to Voices of Our World. Was that a minute or an hour? For all of us here at Voices of Our World, thanks for listening. Mike Hayes and David Golomboski are just two of the voices of our world. I'm your host, Eileen Bott, and this show was produced by Michael Ramadan Jones and Kathy Golden. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, website, or Mary Knoll. David Golomboski will be at Mary Knoll's Youth Day, September 20th in Ossining, New York. For details, go to the event's website, livesofservice.org. You heard music today by The Flowbots, Elbow, and Steely Dan. If you enjoy this program, you may also enjoy Mary Knoll's new Spanish language show, Voces de Nuestro Mundo. Just visit our site for more information. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or try Mary Knoll Magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Get radioactive and join us next time for more Voices of Our World.